What would your life look like if fear was not an option? Find out in the new series, Them, The Scare. It's an all-new installment of the horror anthology now streaming only on Prime Video. The series takes place in Los Angeles in the early 90s, with the city on the edge of complete chaos. Deborah Iorinde returns this season as LAPD homicide detective Don Reeve, who's been assigned to solve a new case that has left even the most hardened detectives shaken, to find the Southside Slayer. As she gives everything to uncover the truth, something horrific and supernatural begins to haunt her and her family. Them, The Scare features the legendary Pam Grier, Luke James, Wayne Knight, plus many more, and is sure to keep you guessing at every turn. Horror fans, get ready for your new obsession. This is something you do not want to miss. And remember, fear is not an option. Watch Them, The Scare on Prime Video, now streaming.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey guys, this is Angie from South Carolina. I was just giving you guys a call to share a memory that I have of one of the first horror movies I ever saw that scared me to death. I grew up with brothers and they were always torturing me with horror movies. And for the most part, I was okay, but my older brother showed me Mortuary when I was probably like 10 years old. And I absolutely was terrified. I could not finish it. I still to this day have not watched that movie because just the thought of it scares me. I just remember the ghoul running around the mortuary with a white face. It just freaked me out so bad. I don't know what you guys think, if I should go back and watch it, if it would scare me now, or if I would just laugh at myself for being so scared. But also, I had a question for you guys. I grew up in a family, and we all obviously watched horror movies since the time I was a little kid. I always loved Halloween, and I loved Jamie Lee Curtis. She was my favorite Scream Queen. So my question is, who is your favorite Scream Queen? Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Angie. And again, I'm really been loving like the horror movie memories people sharing, because it also goes hand in hand with our love of horror and our formulative years, and somehow we powered through where other people drop off and like, oh, horror is no good. And we're like, no, this is the cure. This is why we do it. Scream Queen, often talked about. At least those are the conversations I hear or pay attention to, maybe like top Scream Queens. And of course, Jamie Lee Curtis is always at the top, is one of like the predominant ones. Not the original, I won't say, but definitely between Halloween and Prom Night, and like she definitely staked a claim in the genre. Mm-hmm. Do you two have personal favorites that aren't Jamie Lee? How about you, Zena?
I have so many favorites. I just want to say I love them all. And then that's it. And, you know, just leave
them
alone.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
But cheater. Keeping it modern, like, I really love Jenna Ortega. I just love her. I think that she's such a cutie patootie. So that's more like modern. But, you know, Linnea Quigley is one of my absolute favorites. Mm. You know, Night of the Demons is everything. And it just seems like every single time that she's in a movie, this is going to sound messed up, but it's the truth. Every single time she's in a horror movie, I know when she's going to die because it's like she'll take her clothes off and then she's dead. You know, that's how you know. That's the sign. I also love Danielle Harris, Micah Monroe, Dee Wallace. Like, I could keep on going. There's just so many awesome, awesome screen queens.
Oh, Barbara Crampton. God, I didn't even.
Yes, Barbara Crampton.
As soon as he said, yeah. How about you, Megan? Or did I just steal one from you?
You kind of did and did not. Barbara Crampton is the reason why I don't really go with the phrase scream queens anymore, because mm-hmm. she wrote a whole op-ed years ago and then did another kind of version of that, I think, under Fangoria, where she's like, don't call me a scream queen.
Ooh, interesting.
So she's not fond of that label, and she goes into detail as to why, like, they're more than just a scream queen. So because of that, I usually don't. So I kind of change the rule, because it also, like Xena, I'm afraid that I'm going to miss somebody important that I actually really love. So instead, I kind of switched it up and went with a couple of final girls in horror, like fictional characters that I thought didn't get enough love.
Oh.
Like, everybody loves Heather Langenkamp, rightfully so. But Alice from, you know, 4 and 5 is a really great underrated final girl. I also love the ones where they kind of go through an evolution, like Angela in the Rec series, or even like Mia from Evil Dead 2013. So, yeah, that's my answer. Plus all of them. People who love to work in horror, they're my favorites.
Fair enough. I mean, okay, I won't say Scream Queen. You're right. I never really liked the title Scream Queen. And it was funny because we were watching Scream, the original Scream, over the weekend. And I was kind of wondering, was the term Scream Queen coined before Jamie Kennedy and Scream?
Yes.
I thought so,
I'm pretty sure, I'm pretty sure that, like, Brinke Stevens, who's in a lot of... God,
that's
like,
another one!
See? I'm pretty sure, like, that era had that's where the phrase came from, Scream Queen. So it wasn't Jamie Kennedy that coined it.
Well, yeah.
And it's not a bad phrase.
No, not at all. And I wonder, though, like, it might have also been the term might have gotten more into the pop culture through Scream.
Possibly.
A very terrible analogy. It's like the term MILF came from American Pie, and it didn't, sort of thing. And I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole, because that's not what this podcast is about. That will be a different spinoff podcast. I'm not going to do that. My personal favorite is always... strong female protagonist who survives at the end of a horror movie. Final Girls. Sigourney Weaver is, you know, between the Aliens franchise and Ghostbusters early on, those were just such formative movies that I still love to this day. And I still rewatch to this day. I watched Ghostbusters a couple of days ago again.
That's a good one.
But more the newer generation, Samara Weaving is kind of climbing up that for me lately.
She fits, her scream is so guttural. Like, if we're taking that phrase literally, she's really good.
Yeah, she's got a, like, you killed my kids sort of scream.
like there deep. Is all sorts of primal emotions wrapped up in her screams.
Yeah, so short answer, all the final girls, all the women in horror, they're our favorites.
All of the scream kings and queens and all of them.
Everybody.
All of them.
All right, next question came in via email from Mitch. Hey, Dark Trio, you mentioned in this week's episode that what is the most extreme horror you could get away with at school? I had a similar thought after my wife bought me a projector for our anniversary. Oh, nice gift.
Yeah.
And I wanted to watch a movie on the side of my house. Problem is, we have people that walk dogs and kids behind our house all the time. So I thought, what is a horror movie without a lot of gore, cursing, or nudity? The best answer is Drag Me to Hell. That's Drag Me to Hell is a good example of a pretty brutal, really, like, it's a horror movie that doesn't show, like, it's not like, it's kind of like everyone remembering Saw being way more brutal than it actually was, and then the later sequels absolutely were. I don't know, how about you two, like, if you were going to film something on the side of your house, or not film, project something on the side of your house.
What am I doing now?
Again, all right, that's going to be another podcast I'm going to spin off right after the MILF one. If you were going to show a movie that your whole neighborhood could see on the side of your house, what would it be? Start with Megan.
I have like 4 options because I'm like trying to narrow it down is always so hard. So just keeping with PG-13 horror that really brings it, The Ring, the 2002 remake, yes. PG-13.
That's a good one.
That's really
Underwater
good.
Is actually PG-13.
Mm-hmm. Oh, totally.
And,
yeah.
Arachnophobia. Also, PG-13.
Oh, especially on the side of a house, seeing those spiders and stuff. Yeah,
I know. All of that. Yeah. So I kind of, you know. And then, you know, if you want the classic ghost story, Insidious is also PG-13.
Nice.
Oh,
so I feel like all of these are creepy and scary in their own ways.
Was The Conjuring R?
Yes, that was R.
See, I don't know why it is. I think maybe because it's Patrick Wilson is in both of them that, like, I confuse the... I don't actually confuse the two. I'm very well aware of the difference between the two.
Yeah, but they are, like, you know, James Wan's involved. It does feel like a precursor to The Conjuring in a lot of ways. So I get that.
How about you, Zena?
Oh, okay. Well, you know, sometimes you just gotta rip the Band-Aid off sometimes for people. Sometimes you have to see things. That will strengthen you, you know?
Here we go. Buckle up.
I think I went pretty light. So I was thinking, honestly, The Poltergeist, the 1982 version.
Oh, yeah.
I don't really think that one's that bad. There's no nudity. There's minimal swearing. So, you know.
It's the movie that kind of inspired the PG-13 rating.
Yeah, so there's that one. There's also Lights Out, 2016. I really like that one. I feel like, it's a good time. And then something that's kind of kid-friendly because I watched it as a kid. And it's like a comedy horror. But then again, I've watched The Exorcist as a kid. Shrunken Heads. It's a Full Moon Pictures movie.
Oh my gosh.
It's like these little boys. There's voodoo. There's floating heads. So that one's kind of cool.
Hopefully no nudity.
No nudity.
Okay, good. Yeah, I don't think that they want that projected on the wall of the house. That would be a little weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was totally going to say Chopping Mall. And then I was like, nope, can't do Chopping Mall.
No. You can just put "Have a nice day" freeze frame. That's what you can do.
That's so kind of you.
I'm so bad at naming PG-13 horror movies. Like, I don't know why it is. I think PG-13 maybe because it gets such a bad rap when you see a horror movie's going to be PG-13. But obviously, you've already talked about you can make a really great horror movie that's PG-13 just because it doesn't have a ton of swearing or blood or nudity.
Yeah.
So I'm going to just absolutely cop out and say the same thing I always say and say Jaws. And we can set up some set up some little kiddie pools and
severed head or two. It's fine.
Yeah. Maybe just like two severed heads.
Yeah.
We're good.
But I think it's not rated R though, right?
No, it's PG. It's actually pre-PG 13 anyway.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, nice. Poltergeist has the face.
Oh, yeah, melting. That's good. That you warn the kids about that in advance.
Just close your eyes.
Yeah.
It's fine. It's special effects.
There you go.
All right, before we roll into things, I do want to announce the winners of our sock giveaway.
Yay!
From the sock guys. And I randomly selected names. I put everyone's names who submitted questions over the last month into a random generator, including questions that we haven't read yet. We weren't penalizing you just because we didn't get to your questions before the end of the month. And the winners are Margie from Delaware, who shared her Exorcist memory.
Yeah, Margie.
Hannah from Austin, Texas, who was the Extreme Haunt community member. And Mark M., who asked us the origin story question last week.
Nice. Go, Mark.
So congratulations. Mm-hmm. So please, what you need to do, please send us an email at bedisgustingpodcast@gmail.com with your full mailing address, and I will get those shipped out ASAP. Thanks again so much for submitting your questions, and congratulations.
Woohoo.
Congrats.
Yeah, and speaking of big winners, welcome to the Bloody Disgusting Podcast, everyone, the podcast where we discuss all the disgusting things we love in the horror world. And to help us discuss the disgusting, you know her as lead movie critic for Bloody Disgusting, horror movie fanatic and journalist Megan Navarro. Hey, Megan.
Hello.
And you know her from a YouTube channel and website, Real Queen of Horror and Infinite Love for the Genre, Zena Dixon. Hey, Zena.
Hi.
Hi. And I'm John. If you're listening to this on a Wednesday when the episode drops, I hope you had a happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
We have not had ours yet, so I'm very excited. It's been a month.
It has been a year.
And if you have, and if you didn't have the best Halloween, we're going to do a quick round the table for the movies, books, games, or anything else in horror that are making the three of us smile right now. Maybe there'll be things that'll make you smile too. So, Zeno, what's been filling your heart this week?
So I checked out Sister Death on Netflix. It just came out. After a miraculous childhood, Narissa becomes a novice and starts teaching girls at a former convent haunted by a disturbing presence. So this is the prequel to Veronica from 2017, which is also on Netflix. And I absolutely love that movie so much. And I'm so happy to report back that I love this one. I'm a huge fan of the director, Paco Plaza. I just feel like he's just so incredible, like his crafting, like there's so many gorgeous shots, but they also got under my skin, you know. I will say this, in the beginning, it is slow, but I feel like the buildup is so worth it, and especially that ending. The ending had me screaming. Literally, I was screaming in my house at 2 a.m., but don't worry, I live in the middle of nowhere, so it was fine. But yeah, I feel like even when it comes to the synopsis, it is pretty basic, but just the whole movie in general, I feel like it's just very well layered. It's just like, you know, you have the sister who joins this convent, and then, you know, she discovers that there's something dark and there's like a haunted past and stuff. So it's kind of like an old fashioned ghost story. And also the soundtrack, it does slap. You know, it's not what I expect that it was going to be. So even if you didn't check out Veronica, which I recommend that you check it out. But even if you didn't check it out and you like creepy nuns and creepy convents, you know, if that's your jam, I highly recommend Sister Death. It's a good time. So there's that. And then I kind of unplugged this weekend after I finished my work. I needed it. So I read Lost Boy, The True Story of Captain Hook from 2017. So this is set in the world of Neverland. Lost Boy is basically about this boy named Jamie, who is one of Peter Pan's Lost Boys. And he begins to, you know, kind of separate himself from Peter Pan as he starts to grow up. So this is written by Christina Henry. She's a horror and dark fantasy writer. She also wrote Through the Looking Glass, I think it's called, The Chronicles of Alice, a retelling of Alice in Wonderland. It's kind of like a shifted dark fairy tale. But anyway, so this book is very dark and very gory. Mm. It's very much like Lord of the Flies, and I was just completely living for it. Yes, it reminded me of that. So no spoilers, but I was completely mesmerized. I literally finished it in a day. Like, I couldn't put it down.
Oh, wow.
Really hooked. And Peter, he is something. So
she was hooked on
Hook. I was hooked on Hook, you know. But yeah, Peter, he's something. You know, I grew up with Peter Pan. I used to think he was so cool, and it's just like, what's going on there, Peter? But yeah, if you like dark takes on classic tales, this book is for you, and it's super short. So check it out.
Nice. Check it out.
I'm being Megan.
Being that it was Hollow weekend, I definitely was looking for the Halloween stuff. And Screambox, for the very first time, added Trick or Treat, the 1986 heavy metal horror movie. It's not been on streaming before now. And now it is. So obviously go watch it. But it is about a bully teen boy. He's devastated after the death of his idol, Sammy Kerr. But he's, you know, gifted with a rare record that, as one does, plays it backwards and ends up letting Sammy loose, who really wants to make a comeback from beyond the grave. So I don't know. I think a lot of people consider this the pinnacle of heavy metal horror for good reason. It's such a unique kind of take. I mean, the bullied aspect, not unique, but the heavy metal aspect is. It has Gene Simmons from Kiss. It has Ozzy Osbourne. Mm-hmm. But the kills are very interesting because Sammy Kerr is like, it's almost like Shocker. It's like, what if you had Shocker, but it took itself a little bit more seriously, and he was heavy metal demon trying to take over the world through the airwaves. Yeah, it's fun. Go watch it. And then, speaking of extra fun, also on Screambox, they just added Heebie-Jeebie TV. It is very much like this DIY movie that reminds me of like WNUF Halloween special. Yay! So if you like WNUF, you will really like this one. This one is two siblings. They get a mysterious package that takes them on a wild channel surfing journey. That package is an interdimensional cable box. And so it really does play out like you are watching TV and just flipping through the channels. And it does this really subtle thing where it's like watching TV, right? You've got all this news reports, infomercials, hotline numbers, music videos, like all of these really cute kind of sketches that plays like you're watching TV, kind of like WNUF. But then it kind of shifts through time, so to speak. Like it doesn't tell you what it's doing, but it's subtly like, oh, now we're in the VOD era where we're choosing on-demand stuff to watch. And it's really, really cute. It's very much like DIY, but well-crafted, very creative, very charming. I'm obsessed with the Candy Corn Quartet. Candy Corn Tet. It's a bunch of candy corn singing. But yeah, it's very charming, very cute, very clever, and all like with this no-budget DIY feel. So yeah.
I think I need to check that out now.
I feel like you would love it.
I've been calling it the wrong thing. I've been calling it by its initials and getting stressed out that I forgot a letter. So thank you for that. Yeah.
Yeah. It looked the way it's spelled is H-E-B-G-B.
Yeah.
But it's a fun play on heebie-jeebie.
That's so cool. Yeah.
So, yeah.
I need to go finish watching the new Hell House movie after this, but I think heebie-jeebie will be right. I have like a half hour left. I so wanted to finish before we recorded and I couldn't get it done.
Oh, but no.
I am happy with it. And I didn't even need to watch Hell House LLC 3 beforehand.
Yeah, you don't. You don't.
No, but no, I'm very much enjoying it. It feels like a return to form, and I can't wait to see the last 20 minutes.
Woo-woo!
What I did watch in their entireties started with Megan's pick, 2023's Renfield, available on Peacock. Renfield, Dracula's henchman and inmate at the lunatic asylum for decades, longs for a life away from the Count, his various demands, and all of the bloodshed that will come with them. Which doesn't tell you at all what happens in the movie, but it sums it up. Why this one?
Because you love horror comedies, and it's vibrant, and it seems like a spooky season type watch that you would be into.
I can't think of other movies that I've seen her in. I was aware of her. Like, I'm not really familiar with Awkwafina's other, like, acting chops. Uh-huh. Boy, did she elevate this movie for me. She was so funny. Like, she's so mad through the whole thing. But in, like, a funny way. You know, like, people can be mad and dicks, but she just hates everyone so much. And Nicholas Holt is great. Is actually great. Like, he's taken some really interesting roles because he's like Beast and X-Men movies and this. And, yeah. But he was also a really sinister hitman in Those Who Wish Us Dead, which is a Tyler Sheridan movie with Angelina Jolie. So he really pulls off action well. And this was Nicolas Cage's role, you know. I'm not going to say the role he was meant to be because that was Mandy. But he was great in it. He got to be over the top ridiculous. And it's like, yeah, of course, because he's Dracula. Why wouldn't he be over the top ridiculous? And John Ralphio made me so mad in this for those Parks and Rec fans.
Call him John Ralphio.
Because I can't think of his real name. Nothing personal, but he's John Ralphio to me right now. It's a fun action comedy. It's, you know, it's very cheesy in certain parts, very bloody and action filled in other parts. Like, it definitely runs a gamut. And it's fun. It's on Peacock. Go check it out. Totally recommend. It's a good one. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And again, sometimes I just need someone to tell me, go watch that. Okay.
Go watch that movie.
Yeah. And then I watched Xena's pick, 2023's No One Will Save You on Hulu. An exiled, anxiety-ridden homebody must battle an alien who's found its way into her home. No spoilers, that's in the trailer. Why this one, Xena?
Because you did like Spontaneous. It's the same director, you know, for that. And I don't always watch a lot of sci-fi, you know, thriller, horror, you know, like that. But I really like this one, so I thought you needed it in your life.
Sci-fi horror is definitely a blind spot for me. One, because you just don't see a lot of it. And I think it tends to lean more sci-fi than horror a lot of the time. And I wasn't sure what to think of this one at all.
Yeah.
But holy crap, was this a good movie. Like, what they did with this was like, is it a spoiler to say or say what they don't say in this movie?
It's not a spoiler that there's no dialogue.
There's like five words in this entire movie amongst anyone. And no one's mute. There's just no words. Right. And I love that so much. I've thought about that before. That whenever you see isolation horror, people are always talking to themselves. Mm-hmm. They're always saying something or whatever. And I'm not saying that's not possible. It's absolutely realistic. People do that all the time. Mm-hmm. But the fact that they actually went there with this, and this girl has been so isolated, she probably hasn't actually talked to anyone in who knows how long.
Since her mom died.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I suppose. Yeah, since her mom died.
That's at the beginning, mm-hmm. also not a spoiler.
No, not a spoiler. But she's been so isolated also because of something else in her life and isolated from the town that talking to herself, yeah, it wouldn't be a natural reaction. They explain why, like, there's no talking, like, and it makes sense. And just the acting chops and range that comes from it, but also just the play on the alien concept was really fun. Mm-hmm. Like what the aliens were capable of, how they moved, their reactions, the science, the kind of bits and pieces of science you see and don't understand. And then an ending that did not see coming. At all. Neither. Still not entirely sure how I feel about it. A little bit bothered by it.
Makes you think.
It does. It kind of is like, am I happy that this is what happened, or is this upsetting that this is what happened? I don't know.
Like, what happened?
And I can't think of the last time I thought that about a movie at the end of a movie. Normally, it's like, okay, that was the ending. And either it's like, well, that was a great ending, or it didn't work. But this one is like, I'm not sure what I think of it. And mm-hmm. that's pretty awesome, too. Probably Outwaters is probably the last time I thought that. Like, what the hell did I just watch? In a very different way. Very different movie.
Yeah, totally different.
180 degrees away from Outwaters. Yeah. Like most things are. But no, this was great. And I wouldn't have watched it. Hulu, I almost never watch movies on Hulu anymore. So I appreciate this recommendation. It was great. I loved seeing them go for this.
Yeah.
I feel like you should get on it more. They're really good about adding new stuff. Like Cobweb, if you need another last minute like Halloween watch, like that's a brand new one that was just added to Hulu.
I've seen that. There is a lot of stuff popping up on there that I'm like, I know I need to, and I just haven't. Okay, before we move on, what did we watch and how did we watch it?
So I checked out Sister Death on Netflix, and then I read Lost Boy, The True Story of Captain Hook.
I watched Trick or Treat and HeebieJeebieTV, both on Screenbox.
HeebieJeebieTV. I just like saying
HeebieJeebieTV. It just rolls off the tongue.
Yeah. And I watched 2023's Renfield on Peacock and 2023's No One Will Save You on Hulu. And I don't need homework for next week because Megan and I are going to be taking a little hiatus from the show for the next month. Yeah, the last couple of months in October in particular have been a lot for both of our particular jobs, and just need a little bit of break to get things back in order. If you all listened to Creepy, obviously the last 31 days, but also I've been trapped in a haunted house and I just need to decompress for a little while. And obviously Megan's busy time of year. That said, we are having a Xena takeover in November.
That's right. And that
we're,
I think we're going to call it Z-November. Yeah. Which just makes sense.
It's going to be a good time, you know, before someone's like, no, and then they just like cut it off. It's going to be a good time. I'm going to have a guest each week. And there's even going to be an awesome like bundle giveaway. So you'll just have to tune in next week to see, well, hear what it is and see, because I'm going to post about it on our social media. And yeah, see if you can get your hands on it.
Yep. So our plans are still going to be moving forward. We'll still post episodes ideally on Wednesday, assuming there aren't any technical difficulties. So the content won't be stopping. Megan and I are just going to take a little bit of a break and the show will go on. Don't worry. And you'll get some interviews.
Xena's in control.
I mean, we'll miss you guys, though. But it's...
We'll miss you, too.
But it's fine.
Well, we won't, because we'll have her in our ear holes all November long.
Yeah, I'll still be listening to it. I'll still get the audio. But yes, and for those of you out there who were interested in like maybe hearing more interviews and things like that on the show, now is your best opportunity to hear them, because I don't like doing interviews.
Kind of. It's going to be a good time. Definitely going to be having plenty of recommendations still for everyone.
Perfect. Nice. Can't wait.
What would your life look like if fear was not an option? Find out in the new series, Them, The Scare. It's an all-new installment of the horror anthology now streaming only on Prime Video. The series takes place in Los Angeles in the early 90s, with the city on the edge of complete chaos. Deborah Iorinde returns this season as LAPD homicide detective Don Reeve, who's been assigned to solve a new case that has left even the most hardened detectives shaken, to find the Southside Slayer. As she gives everything to uncover the truth, something horrific and supernatural begins to haunt her and her family. Them, The Scare features the legendary Pam Grier, Luke James, Wayne Knight, plus many more, and is sure to keep you guessing at every turn. Horror fans, get ready for your new obsession. This is something you do not want to miss. And remember, fear is not an option. Watch Them, The Scare on Prime Video, now streaming.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, enough about what we've been watching this week. It's time for Megan to bring us up to speed on the news and trending topics in the world of horror. So what's going on, Megan?
Stop. All of the stuff. No, director Scott Derrickson's Joe Hill adaptation, The Black Phone, was a huge hit in theaters last year. So it's probably no surprise that Black Phone 2 has officially been confirmed. Universal and Blumhouse will release The Black Phone 2 on June 27th, 2025. It stars Ethan Hawke in the most disturbing role of his career, probably. He starred in the suspenseful thriller, and it is based on Joe Hill's short story. In the film, Finney, a shy but clever 13-year-old boy, is abducted by a sadistic killer, played by Hawke, and trapped in the soundproof basement where screaming is of little use. But he finds a disconnected phone on the wall and discovers that he can hear the voices of the killer's previous victims, and they are dead set on making sure what happened to them doesn't happen to Finney. That's about all of the confirmed details are, but as for whether the original team is reuniting for the sequel, the co-writer C. Robert Cargill tweeted last week, I'm only going to make a Black Phone sequel if we really have a great idea. Phone rings, Joe Hill. So I've got a really great idea. Me and Scott Derrickson 30 seconds later. So we're making a Black Phone prequel. Yay. So that cheeky little tweet basically confirms that all three are back for this sequel.
Awesome. Yay.
Yeah. Yay. In some very unexpected news, Zach Kreger's hit Barbarian is the latest horror movie to get a video game adaptation for PC and consoles, courtesy of New Regency Pictures and Diversion 3 Entertainment. Diversion 3 Entertainment will lead the creative team adapting Barbarian in video game form, having Diversion 3. Diversion 3 Entertainment on board is a big deal right off the bat because the company previously worked on Friday the 13th, the game, and Evil Dead, the game. We're very excited to work with the team at New Regency to expand on the settings, characters, and creatures of Barbarian, said Tim Hess, executive producer of Diversion 3 Entertainment. The film did a magnificent job of not only scaring audiences with its unexpected and horrifying twists and turns, but also establishing strong characters thrown into terrifying situations. So there's no word on physical release of the movie, which is, I think, all that fans pretty much care about at this point. Like, where is it? Roy Lee at some point mentioned that it was going to happen. It has not yet. So, but hey, there's a video game in the works. No Blu-ray yet, pretty but cool. We got a video game. So, yeah. And then I think we're all huge fans of Mike Flanagan. Mm-hmm. He's headed back into the world of Stephen King with The Life of Chuck. And he announced the full cast, pretty much, which is freaking massive. It is based on the short story from King's 2020 anthology, If It Bleeds. The life of Chuck is three separate stories linked to tell the biography of Charles Krantz in reverse, beginning with his death from a brain tumor at 39, ending with his childhood in a supposedly haunted house. According to the production, the genre of the project will totally draw from Stand By Me, Shawshank Redemption, Green Mile, so think more feel-good than scares, which kind of is in line with Mike Flanagan. So deep breath. Here's the cast list so far. Chiwetel Ejiofor, Karen Gillan, Jacob Tremblay, Tom Hiddleston, Mark Hamill, Matthew Lillard, Heather Langenkamp, Mia Sara, Benjamin Pajak, Harvey Guillen, David Dasmalchian, Kate Siegel, Carl Lumley, Annalise Basso, Samantha Sloyan, Rahul Kohli, Michael Trucco, Violet McGraw, and Molly C. Quinn. Flanagan tweeted last week, "The life of Chuck is a very personal story for me and a movie I'm so grateful will be in the world. We'll keep you posted with more updates as they come," which I'm sure we'll hear a lot more until it's ready for release.
I was completely sold by like the third or fourth name. I was like, all right, you and then you did 12 more.
it's got a huge, crazy cast.
That's amazing. I mean, Mike Flanagan, good on you, man. Get more horror crossovers. Bring more actors into the horror space. I'm not mad about that.
Yeah, and I like that Matthew Lillard has a lot of horror work lately.
Yeah. Oh God, did you see Five Nights at Freddy's? The opening weekend made like $65 million.
More than that, sir. More than that. Hold on, I'm about to pull it up because it was like 180 or some nonsense.
Holy crap. Oh, maybe it was just like opening net or day or something then.
It made crazy amounts of money.
Goes to show you the Rotten Tomatoes scores don't matter that much.
Okay, so opening, it shatters box office. So it's North America, 80 million, okay. 132 million global.
Whoa, good on them.
And that's with it being released on Peacock this
weekend. That's so crazy.
It made an insane amount of money. So Five Nights at Freddy's Part 15, here we come.
Yeah, no doubt.
Can't wait, though. I had fun with it.
I still have to watch that one, too.
Yeah. It's very cute.
All right, listeners, your turn. What horror movie needs or at least deserves a sequel? What movie that you can't even begin to imagine as a video game do you think would maybe work as a video game? You can call or text us at 224-475-1040. The number is also in the show notes, or feel free to email us at bedisgustingpodcast@gmail.com. Finally, Zena is going to make all our lives easier in the sea of horror movie options and clue us in on what's appearing soon that we should be watching. So, Zena, what should we be watching on Halloween or the day after?
Like, I feel like you're saying a lot.
All of it. Just go. Just turn on your TV.
Yes,
you'll find
so
it.
Much. Yep. Well, first up, out today, Monday, Hell House LLC Origins, The Carmichael Manor. It's available on Shudder. On Halloween, Blood Brothers Dracula Returns. You know, for this season, there's going to be 11 drag performers. Sorry about that. Gosh. You know, and they're competing for the title of the world's next drag super monster and a cash prize of $100,000. Also, The Elderly is available on VOD. I previously spoke about this one where the elderly, they're acting weird. There's some paranormal events that happened. And, you know, it's paired with lust, with a lust for blood. So, whoa. Then Bloodthirst, this will be available on VOD and DVD. This is still Tuesday the 31st, so Halloween. In a world of vampires, only the strong survive. John Shepard, a vampire hunter, is one of them. John has to track down and eliminate the master vampire before he gets himself turned into one. Then on Friday the 3rd, November 3rd, happy November, Courtney gets possessed. This will be available on VOD. A bumbling wedding party must battle the forces of hell when a bride becomes possessed by the devil the night before her wedding. Then Squealer, when a local cop and an overzealous social worker follow clues on a missing person's case around town. Stomach-turning discoveries are unearthed on a pig farm where the town butcher has been slaughtering more than livestock. Then we also have Black Noise. Members of an elite security team deploy to rescue a VIP member of an exclusive island. But then something is happening. There's some type of sinister presence that's going on that wants to harm them. We also have Deep Fear. This will be available on VOD. Three young, freshly graduated students decide to have a little fun visiting the Paris catacombs. Soon, Sonia, Max, and Henry need to escape from a strange creature hiding underground in the earth, hoping to unleash hell above the surface. Well, yeah. Okay. You know, when she said that.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
Then we also have Where the Devil Roams. This will be available in limited theaters. Family of a murderous sideshow performers travel around the world on the dying carnival circuit. Then we have Project Z. This will also be in limited theaters. A group of film students take three unemployed actors to disuse to a dirty hotel, we'll just say what it is, and the Norwegian mountains to make a zombie film. And then on Tuesday the 7th, You Can Own It Lives Inside. It'll be available on Blu-ray and DVD, as well as The Jester and Ghost of Void. It'll be available on VOD. And so just in case if you did miss it, Five Nights at Freddy's is still in theaters. It's also on Peacock. When Evil Lurks is on Shudder. Suitable Flesh is on VOD. There's just so much stuff that's out right now. Literally, just cut your TV on. You'll be okay.
Yeah, just turn it on.
And that's the Bloody Disgusting podcast for this week, everyone. If you'd like to read more from Megan, you can check out her reviews at bloodydisgusting.com and on Twitter at HauntedMeg. Xena can be found on her own website, realqueenofhorror.com, and the YouTube channel of the same name, or at Lovely Xena on Twitter. And you can hear me on my still daily, but by the time you hear this, back to weekly horror narration podcast, Creepy. Don't forget to hit subscribe on your favorite podcast app, and feel free to follow us on Instagram and Twitter at BeDisgustingPod, or drop us an email at BeDisgustingPodcast@gmail.com. And don't forget to check out all things Bloody Disgusting on TikTok at BeDisgusting. So for this week, I'm John.
I'm Megan.
I'm Xena.
Grab some popcorn, cozy up on the couch, and watch something you love. Just make sure it's something bloody. Here comes the November.
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween. Happy Day of the Dead. And happy Z-November.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.